Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, June 23rd, 2025. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening over Rumble or YouTube, you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions, it's plural, to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find the banners on the right side of the website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right side of the website. Okay, we're going to pick up with our scripture reading where we left off last week. We're in the Gospel of Luke, and we're in chapter 11, and it'll be read by Alexander Scorby. So Luke chapter 11, Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather, give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees! For ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees! For ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers, and said unto him, Master, thus saying thou reproachest us also. And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers! For ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you! For ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers. For they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently, and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him, and seeking to catch something out of his mouth, that they might accuse him.
Okay, Right, Jen, do we have any questions tonight?
Yes, we do, John. I have been having an echo. Do you have one?
No, I don't hear an echo. Anybody else hearing an echo? I have my air conditioner on behind. Well, that's not an echo, so.
No, I haven't heard one.
Yeah, let's okay.
It's my own little echo then. Okay. The Red Pill Expo is back. This is an announcement. I have no questions for tonight, John. So you're off the hook. The Red Pill Expo is back this time. It's going to be held in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, the Red Pill is an outreach project of the Freedom Force International. It's held multiple times a year. This one will be held July 12th and 13th, 2025. This will be free streaming again, so you can listen to the entire two-day 18-member list of speakers for nothing if you sign up. You can also see it in person, and you can go to dinner with the people who are the speakers and so on and so forth if you like. I would highly recommend that you go. This one has a lot of different subjects. It's chaired by Robert Scott Bell, a homeopathic doctor. He's host of the Bell Report, whose topic is fear is natural, but being frozen into inaction by it is worse. Some of my favorites there, and there are going to be a lot of homeopathy type doctors there, is Dr. Bryant Artis, a whistleblower who blew the whistle on the new venom-based vaccines and people's maladies that provide new profitable drug sales to keep them coming back and coming back. Also, there's a fellow who I followed for probably 10 to 20 years. His name is Mark Grennan. He was a missionary in Latin America until arrested at the request of the U.S. government, no less. He spent 5 years in prison for healing the sick without Big Pharma. Dr. Lee Merritt is going to talk on Are Cancer Parasites a New Bioweapon? I remember one of Brian Artis's talks, he mentioned that every cancer that was a tumor that he removed was full of parasites. So that's an interesting one. Also, we have Melendez, who's an author, and she's going to report on the suspicious phenomenon of, guess what, epic wildfires. Are they caused by climate change or not? Seeing is believing, and there's some really good photos should go with that. You will also receive a free download of The Chasm, Collectivism versus Individualism, the issue behind all issues. Highly recommended reading prior to the event. This is a 50-page booklet put together specifically by G. Edward Griffin. It's pieces out of his new book, and it's now in draft form, and you can download that free if you sign up for the free courses. So I would highly recommend that you either listen to it, or if you can, go see it in person. It's a real eye-opening experience. And that's all I have, John.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I know you sent me, I guess we had a guy last week that asked concerning the committees of safety, and I guess he wasn't happy with my answer, and you had sent another email, you had sent a copy of that to me. Weeping Eagle, I guess is his name. You there, Jen? You hear me? Anybody hearing me?
Yes.
I hear you.
Thank you. I don't know, we lost Jen, I guess. Let me open up the queue, by the way. Anybody wants to get into the queue, if you're on a phone, it's a star 671. If you're on an Apple browser, it should be button there to get into the queue. Anyway, Janet sent me a copy of this information, and I believe he said that the by the way, someone's got a mic open. Is that you, Ed, with a mic open? Somebody does. Anyway, I was going through this, and I figured I'd respond a little more. And this individual has been a member, I think, since 20, let's see, 15 or 16, I think 16. And I kind of recognize a few things about this guy, and he had come in numerous times in the beginning, and I guess he became a membership. I guess he's been watching us for a while, but I guess we haven't convinced him very much. He's got a lot of, questions or things that he has made claims, and I'd like to just go through a couple of things. I went back and looked into the book, Government by Consent. We have a complete chapter, of course, on the Committee of Safety, about 40 or 50 pages within that book. We have, 490 times either committee or committee of safety or committee man was used. That might be duplicate because the word committee may have been used numerous times, but probably a couple hundred times the phrase was used. And I know last week Eric had brought up a couple of things. But what I did is I put up a paper under Start a Committee of Safety. You come over down to Handbook, Videos, and Tools, and it's 21 pages of information, some of the research that we had gone through in order to put this information together. So there's a tremendous amount of information. Let me see where that's at. I think it is here. Yeah, History of the Committees of Safety. So there's a lot of information here. Eric brought up Mayflower Compact, the date of that was back in 1620. So committees of safety have been active here in the Americas since 1620, since the Pilgrims came over on the Mayflower. And there's a tremendous amount of information concerning this stuff. This guy, I think, he's a lawyer. He's from the Southern Poverty Law Center. And I'm just going to go through a couple of things because he really, was upset because I didn't go through his questions or his points or his disagreements or whatever the case may be. So I guess, he rewrote some of them, and I just want to go through it real quickly. I'll point out a couple of reasons why I think he's a lawyer, and kind of sounds familiar. Not that I heard his voice, but just the assault particularly. I know back a while ago, he was upset if it's the same individual, I believe it is. He was upset with the committee man process that we're involved with. So he's been around for a while. And as time went on, of course, we moved over to the juries, the grand jury particularly, and the trial juries. And then the real committee man, which is the Committee of Safety. Very specific. So anyway, if anybody's interested, we do have quite a bit of information. This is 21 pages of information that we have on the committee man. The other thing is, if you go into, because he said he had a lot of problems trying to find information on committees of safety. But if you put in committee of safety in your search engine, it comes up quite a bit of information. A lot of information quite quickly, and some good information. A lot of documentation, the origins of the committees of safety. It gets into different dates and different parts of the nation at that time, as far as the colonies, which eventually, of course, became states. So there's tremendous amount of information, so I don't know why he would bring up things like that. But a couple of things that he wanted me to look at, so I'm going to try to respond to some of these things, only a couple, because a lot of it isn't really even worth responding to. But that was one of the things he said. He couldn't find information online about the Committee of Safety. And again, the earliest part is 1620. Eric had brought that up. I don't think he brought the date up, but the Mayflower Compact. Let's see, there was just a couple of things. Yeah, he's back in the time when we were doing the New York Committee Men. So he's been around for a while. He's a member of ours for about, it goes back to 2015. But he's been visiting us prior to that, and I know he's because it's the same person who was causing a lot of havoc back then, or trying to anyway. But one of the things he seemed to be actually upset about was, let's see, going through his stuff here. One of the issues I really was interested in bringing up, I thought I'd mark it near the Ojibwe. But he thought that we need kind of an authority in order to do what we're doing. That's one of the things political parties have. Oh, this is what he said. Ultimately, all committees of safety dissolved, which is not true. They did not dissolve. They were really captured by the minions of the New World Order, ultimately, you know, the business that he's in, the bar attorneys. And they created bosses, party bosses. And those party bosses have taken control of the committees of safety going way back. I know it's got to go back at least to the beginning of the 20th century, so the early 1900s, but it probably goes back further than that. And then, you know, and the committees of safety morphed into what we call the committee men. And some individuals, you know, some of the colonies may have just mentioned or called them the committee men, but they were committees of safety. They do come with a couple of different names. I don't recall maybe one or two that I'd heard, but basically they are committees. And it's just the people coming together trying to govern themselves for either an out-of-control government or a government that isn't doing their job and trying to fill in, you know, the necessities. But that is exactly what has happened. They have stolen that process. And he thinks that political committees have zero government powers. But the committeemen are the individuals who put people onto the ballot. The committeemen are the people who monitor the people in office and do recalls if it's necessary. And they will, you know, people who are elected, they have to get signatures, lots of signatures, so they have to rely on the committeemen. That's why they had to seize control of that. And so when you get to choose either the criminal on the right or the criminal on the left, it was come up with a lot of bad people. And it's really, really have been totally, totally taken over by, you know, these party bosses.
John, a note that he made, I saw his response.
Mm-hmm.
He said that committees, and I think you were about to say it, but you were carrying, you went to another point, but I think you were about to say what he said, which was that they devolve and become tyrannical. He said committees of safety are tyrannical. And this reminds me of, you know, when the Rules Enabling Act, they said that common law was unfair. Because common law was unfair, they had to institute the civil law, which of course, you know, you basically laugh at and call absurd because, I mean, I've never actually heard you laugh at it, but it is absurd. It is entirely the opposite of the truth that the common law is unfair. And I've mentioned it before, it is unfair to these people who changed it because, like I said, when a modern-day Pharisee can't just up and steal a widow's house, that's unfair to them. That's unfair to them because we're cattle to them. And so this idea is, you know, I don't care for it. I despise it. And it reminds me of this, Proverbs 29:26. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from Jehovah. An unjust man is abominable to the righteous, and he who is upright in the way is abominable to the wicked. That's what this kind of language reminds me of. You know, there's always going to be people like this. It's a slave mind, civil law mind, belief system. And the people are not supposed to rule themselves according to these people. But we that believe that the people are, you know, we're in the great minority. And so this is the constant battle, and I yield.
Okay, thank you. Well, let me read a couple of things that he had said here. He's got quite a bit here, but I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Talking about powers and authorities, he says the key appears to be that they were authorized by state-level authorities. So the people were authorized by some governmental body, and that's his claim and his point that he seems to be making. And they were elected at some point. And the committeemen were never elected, and they still never are elected. In some places, I don't think it's the case in every state, but quite a few states, and definitely here in New York, they appear to be elected. And all things are facade. But ultimately, they're chosen by the party bosses, because if the party boss wants to cut you out, he prevents you from coming in. And if they want to get rid of you because you're a problem, they get rid of you. And that's just the way these political parties are. And it's controlled by party bosses. And he says that the committees are a bunch of people that come together declaring themselves into power and granting themselves authority and powers. Well, he's got a point here. That's exactly what we did. That power and authority was given to us by God in the book of Genesis. Just go back into the beginning. All authority was given unto man. And now government by consent of the people that we have, the Constitution is very clear that we the people ordained, we the people established the Constitution for them. We didn't derive our power from them. We derived our power from God. I think he needs to go back and read the Bill of Rights and read particularly the Declaration of Independence, which clarifies this point quite clearly. But lawyers seem to believe these things, because that's why I perceive he's a lawyer, and I perceive it's the same guy that had come in trying to cause some havoc a while back to the Southern Poverty Law Center. I don't think he ever really got any gainsaying against us, but, because he was coming in with a lot of lawyer stuff, a lot of false things, knowledge that, because they believe that we are under Roman law. They believe that we... our country was built in the liking of Rome. And that's not true at all. We're under biblical law. We're under God's law. And common law is very simple, really, because common law really can be explained very simply. It's called common sense with an eye on justice. That's what common law is. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. Just build your case upon the facts. I think it was Lincoln said, it doesn't care. He doesn't care about the law or what it says. Just give me the facts and I'll win the case. Of course, they got to be a winning case that he believes in to be able to win that, as long as he gets the facts, just the facts. But he claims that, again, that they were under that power and that we get our power or somehow from the government. And who are we to step up to be sovereign, to think that we can tell the government what to do, that... his attitude is against, sovereignty, ultimately. Another thing, he keeps calling me Mr. Darish through this whole thing, Mr. Darish, all the way through. And the only time I'm ever barraged with that name is when I'm in court. Lawyers do that. They try to do that, number one, as respect to some degree. So they're taught that way. I think it's a habit to some degree. But sometimes they use that to press their points and constantly bring your name up to try to rattle your cage, because that's what lawyers do. They can't win on the facts. They have to come in with all these smoke and mirror things and lies. And I'll tell you, I don't know that I've ever gone into a court with written any papers where we actually go in and make points and the other side responds in some fashion or another, when they just attack. They just attack you because they try to rattle you and throw you off your point and so on and so forth. And they know that most people that go into the courts don't have a clue on how things work, and they take advantage of that. And they do change their courts from courts of record into courts of civil law under Roman law. So that's what they do. But anyway, there is a tremendous amount of information that we brought together. And people are interested, they can read it in a book. Like I said, there's a whole chapter on it. And also, I hope that this page, and just put Committee of Safety in your search engine, and you'll get a lot of stuff. But anyway, like I said, there's 21 pages of information on the concept, a brief history of the Committees of Safety in America. And this information can be gotten through very quickly. I didn't have to do deep dives to learn about the Committees of Safety. Again, just to throw the words in and a lot of stuff comes up. But you can dig deeper and get a lot more information. So anyway, if people are concerned about these Committees of Safety, and I'm going to tell you, say it again, if I haven't said it 1,000 times, I probably have, maybe not 1,000. But in any event, you can't have government by consent without Committees of Safety. Call it whatever you want. People have to come together in their community as a committee to discuss things. They need to create subcommittees to investigate and look into things, because that's called government by consent, where the people consent to everything they do, yay or nay, and with the power and with the authority to remove all these clowns from office when they break the law, when they violate their oaths. When they start discussing things they have no business discussing. And I tell you, I get so depressed because I see these things when these people talk. And I'm talking about the people we've put into power. They are constantly talking about things that they should not be talking about. You know, they talk about our First Amendment. They talk about our Second Amendment. They talk about our due process. They talk about all these things, or they deny our due process. And they deny who we are as a people. They deny that we're a Christian nation. They deny that we're under common law, and that the people are the authority, that we have government by consent, and that we do have the power and the authority to make it up as we go and exercise that power and authority together. You know, we come to decisions in the committees. And subcommittees are very important because, you know, you have to deal with the education of our children. We could take 100% control of all the schools within your county, all of them, every single one of them. And you can require them to bring a proper education, require them to teach morality and not all these demoralized things that they've been teaching our children. I don't even think, I know when I was a kid, we said the Pledge of Allegiance every day when we went to school, every single day. I wonder whether that's done anymore. Because even just the Pledge of Allegiance, really has a lot to say of who we are as a people, one nation under God. I pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic for which that stands, not a democracy, a republic. And it's the lawyers that changed us over from a republic to a democracy and the minds of the people. And you can't even talk to a person who's been elected or even appointed where they even seem to understand this fact, the difference between a republic and a democracy. Constantly I hear the democracy, democracy, democracy. They've destroyed this nation. They've destroyed our educational system. They even destroyed our religion. Different organizations, religious-wise, they've taken over everything. They just come in. They're a disease. Or in my opinion, there's no nice way to put it. In my opinion, they're a disease. Bar attorneys, with very few exceptions, there are a few exceptions where bar attorneys have seen the light, come to the realization that they've been taught to lie, because it's nothing but a pack of lies, nothing. They're destructive. They're a disease to who we are as a people, disease to our government, disease to our courts, which is part of the government, of course. And they have no clue. Again, to think that we have to go to get authority from another man is absurd. It's especially someone who is, who is a person who works for us, a servant. Why would we want to go to a servant and have a servant judge over us? That's what we do. That's what the courts are all set up. We've got chancery courts. These guys make any decision. Look what they've done to Trump. It's a good example of what's going on. I've been going through that since the beginning. Since I started getting into this and going into the courts, I've been going through the very same thing that Trump has been going through. They ignore you. They bring up all this fake stuff. They just lie. And that's the other thing. Lie, 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 lie. Well, it's the devil, in my opinion, because that's all they do is lie. every single time it's assault, an assault. My last papers that I had written just a couple of months ago, if that long ago, and the lawyer came back with all these lies, is turning everything that I said upside down on his face. And it's a lie on its face. So I wrote a paper to the judge, first of all, disclaiming all of the things that he said, and then said that this guy should be sanctioned. And the judge refused to sanction him. Refusing to sanction that particular lawyer for all that he had said really tells everything, everything. But that's the problem we have, you know. There's that humor out there, that joke, which isn't a joke. You know, how can you tell if a lawyer's lying? His lips are moving, you know. That's an absolute truth. Now, again, once in a while, you do meet up with a lawyer that's got some integrity and comes to realize the truth. I know a couple of lawyers that became lawyers and they left because it's just that disgusting. And, because if you're going to practice law in their courts, which they claim is their courts, okay, you're going to practice law in their courts, you have to be obedient to them and you have to fall in line. And there's certain things you cannot say. Don't bring that Constitution in here. You don't need that Constitution. You have plenty of statutes you can use. Your statutes. I know the course that I had taken, the first course that I had taken to try to learn about the structure of the court and how things work. That's exactly what, and the teacher seemed like a really nice guy. He seemed to even get some Christian tendencies to him, or at least it sounded that way. So, but he's been brainwashed to think that we should never use the Constitution in a court. Just bring in the statutes. And so that's what they believe. They believe the lie, they prepare the lie, and they'll be judged by their own lies. All right, anyway, hopefully we've got some people in the queue. We've got one person in the queue. If anybody else wants to get into the queue, again, *601 if you're on a phone, app or browser, there should be a button to get into the queue. Let me just shut some of this stuff down. And by the way, Ivan, I did do a paper, a notice and demand to that particular group that I believe this guy is part of, the Southern Poverty Law Center. And, I was planning on suing them. I just never had the time. And I think one day, once I get the time, I'm going to sue them because that's a real evil group. I won't get anywhere in the courts today, but I do believe in, well, I hope anyway, we're going to get our courts of justice back. And once that happens, I think I might sue that group. But, okay, anyway, queue's open for one person. So anybody else wants to get into queue, go right ahead. We'll take our first call. It looks like Richard. What's your state, Richard? You got the mic.
Oh, good evening, John.
How you doing?
Fargo, North Dakota. I did send a question letter. Email.
Mm-hmm.
What I wanted to talk about tonight, and I thought I'd just give you that to look at.
Well, you must have hit the wrong address because Jan didn't have anything on that. Maybe it came in last week, but I think you were here last week too, anyway.
Yeah, I got on too late to put a question in there, but do I have to have it in by a certain time before the meeting starts?
Well, I don't know when the last time Jan looks at that. So he may just look at it right before the call. I don't know.
Yeah, there was just a few minutes before 8 my time, Central Time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what is it? How to respond to? I got a what I thought was a ghost ticket. I got a thing in the mail saying that I had a ticket for parking, and it didn't really say a whole lot. Just that I owed $20 and had to pay it by a certain day, or there'd be within days or something. Late fee, penalty, $50, et cetera. And then I ignored it because I've had this happen to me before. This, you ever heard of this thing? Pooping?
You seem to be fading in and out. Maybe you're moving as you're talking. Your mic might be stationary and you're moving as you're talking. But
I think I'm just holding one place. I might be moving my lips a little bit. But
well, I hope so. Now you make that sound.
Well, anyway, it has to do with a parking ticket. I had no idea. I never got it. I don't know what's going on. So I thought it was a spoofing thing. Because I've had this happen before with things. It looks real official. The city documents on there. And I've had stuff like that before. And and they get information out of me and then end up stealing money from me. And I've had it happen to me twice, three times. So I don't even respond to text messages that, well, then the latest I got is one, the reason I'm calling, they're just $20 parking tickets. And let's see if I can get to that and I'll show you what it said. That's what I sent in the question there, if he's able to get that. But I got something that said that's from, it's not in the official letterhead or anything, it just says parking ticket. North Dakota Department of Motor Vehicles, DMV, final notice. Enforcement penalties begin on June 20th. You currently have an outstanding traffic fine. It's not even a traffic fine, it's just a parking ticket, from what I can tell. According to North Dakota Statute 15C16-.003, failure to pay by June 19 results in, number one, reporting your violation with the DMV. Number two, suspension of vehicle registration effective June 20. Number three, 30-day license suspension. Number four, debt referred for collection, which I did get a letter from a debt collection agency, and which was real vague on what it was all about, just that they were demanding money. And then debt referred for collection incurs extra 35% fee, potential legal proceedings and negative credit impact, pay immediately at, and then they give a website number. It kind of looks like a government one, but there's a bunch of garbage behind it that I have no idea what that stands for, so I ignored it. But what if they really are going to do this thing? I've never gotten a ticket, so I have no idea what this is all about.
Oh, yeah, they're going to, if they went as far as to send that letter to you, they're going to follow up on that.
Okay.
So it's called extortion. That's what all these traffic violations are, extortion. And
hey, keep in mind, gentlemen, look, if you just Google what you got on your, you said you got it on your phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you just Google it, you might see that it's a common scam. People run scams like this, and it's probably, there's a chance, and I'm not giving you advice, but there's a chance that it's a scam. If you just type in what you got online, you might see that it's a common scam. I get these kind of things to my work phone, and it's got nothing to do with the government. If you call the government, they'll tell you straight up, at least in the experiences that I've had, they'll tell you, no, that's not us, that's not us. So you want to check that out before you do anything.
I didn't realize that you were talking about something that came over your phone. So, yeah, I wouldn't see that they would do anything over the phone. They're going to do it with a letter because they played the scam with me. You know, I fought a ticket, and in the middle of the case, they went and fined me anyway when, you know, I had already moved that case into the state court. And I did win that through a default because they even defaulted. And then they hired a lawyer to try to get out of that default. And it still isn't settled. But ultimately, I did win. I won by default. So I'm hoping to maybe make a collection on that. But when they decided, you know, their response to me, my paperwork that I filed and, you know, through the and served through the state court here, what they did is that their response was finding me guilty and hit me with a $300 fine, which, again, they sent a letter and they spelled it out, all their extortion, what's going to happen, and if you get caught driving, we're going to arrest you. I mean, they actually spoke those things in this letter. And so I had to pay it, and then I filed for more of I doubled my the lawsuit amount. I was asking for $1,000 in real money, which would be, and I defined it as Morgan Silver dollars face value, real money. So that's $35,000 right now, each thousand. So I doubled it because they were just so disrespectful and continued that court case. So I, for a second amount, so it's $2,000. And it's both against the judge who stepped outside of their authority, and also the prosecutor. And not long after that, I got a letter, okay, telling me, and this is from the Motor Vehicles, Department of Motor Vehicles, telling me I had to pay an additional $300. And they didn't even explain what that was. And so I did send them 100 at that time, and they haven't bothered me since, and it's been quite a few months. But they did the same threat that the court threatened me with, you know, that they will remove my license. I won't be able to drive. If I get caught, I'm going to go to jail. I mean, they put these words down on a paper. So, you know, but coming through an your phone, I didn't realize you said that. I've never heard of that. So I would agree with that, and I don't think it has no validity.
One collection agency letter was in hot pink paper, but where I was reading in the Sheriff's Common Law Handbook, pages 42 to 51, it talks about they can't do that, you know, but they do.
Yep, they do what they want.
You know, so that's what I'm kind of wondering. A remedy for every injury, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And I thought, well, do I just pay it?
If it was real, you should be able to go into the court. And again, you don't even recall getting anything. So I agree with Eric. It's probably not real. If it's not coming in or through the mail, then I wouldn't worry about it at all.
Then, you know, could I just go down? Well, that the first letter came from the city auditor.
Well, again, the people say all kinds of things of what they are.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm real suspicious, because I got scammed on some other things that very similar to this thing, but it was I found out about this thing from called spoofing, and I got burned on it. I was buying some stuff on over the internet on mail in order for some hunting supplies and stuff. They had a sale on it, and so I said, well, okay. So I thought, this is kind of weird. Most people don't put 25% off on you know, guns and ammunition stuff. They might be 10%, but I thought, well, just out of curiosity, it was out of North Carolina, so I called the number. And yeah, it was legitimate sales. And boy, all the inventory, everything was there. It was all looking at it. I said, well, this got to be the real. And they said, yeah, we're having a sale on stuff. So, okay, so we're back to the thing. Got all done, ordered a bunch of stuff, about three different orders. Hurry up and buy it right now, because it's the last one we got type of deal. So, you know, dummy me, I went along with it. I thought, well, it was a good sale. I said, wait a minute, you know, something that, and I wanted to cancel the whole thing. The website was gone, and what popped up was something, and my wife, she did a search on it, and said it was a scam. Well, I did get the money back through the bank because of, you know, the fraud thing, but how clever they were. I mean, everything was legit. All the account numbers, all the inventory numbers, everything was there. And I found out after that, through that process, the spoofing thing, they'll hack right into companies' records, and they get it all.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out it was a company out of Hong Kong that was doing it.
Yeah, that's probably why I can't get to them, because they're operating from outside the United States. Or they're real good in being able to hide and bounce their, you know, whatever it is.
If I do a search, what do? Just search that website that they gave me in the text?
I'm sorry, say it again?
Can I just do a search? I'm not sure I understand. Just do a search for that website they gave me in the text, that one.
I don't know. I would ignore it. Again, if it's coming through the phone, I can't believe that they would do that through the phone. Although everybody's moving to AI, or, you know, you can't talk to anyone. It's so frustrating. You know, I have problems with this or problems with that, and you want to talk to an individual because AI can't help you. They claim that they just can't. It just doesn't work. And I want to talk to a person. You know, Congress needs to actually get out there and really start doing their work, because this is one of the things they should be doing. Is if you're gonna get charged by something from by some corporation, and even the government, they're the same way. You know, if you get charged with anything and you got to pay money for anything, a bill or whatever, then they need to have a phone to be able to talk to somebody. You know, but they do everything they can to hide their phone numbers. You know. Some problems I had with Amazon number was kind of hard to find. They don't put it on their site or anything. But if you keep Googling or searching through the search engines here, eventually you'll find it. I did find their number, so whenever I have a problem, I just call them direct, and I'm able to get a person on the phone. But they all work overtime to hide their phones, their phone numbers. It's really depressing.
Oh, yeah. That was another one I got. I called the number back. I figured out it was a scam, and I tried calling back. And I hung up on it once, and they called me right back, and And so then I dialed the support, what I thought was the original company, what it was, the company number, but somehow it rolled right back over to that person. When we got all down to the end, I said, this is a scam. It's gotcha, sucker, and he hung up. So then I called it back. It was a disconnected number.
And that's the other thing. They put these numbers out there that, you know, they show one number. It's not the number they're calling in on.
But it was actually the real company number, but somehow they had to be able to roll that when I called, it went to them. It forwarded.
Okay.
There's a thing you can do on your phone. You can forward calls.
Mm-hmm.
Another number. But what address? I just take this address that in here and just enter it in the search engine side, and like the .dot.nd, and then there's a dash .arcc.
Well, look, all you have to do if it looks like they're trying to look like they're coming from the DMV, just call the DMV up and ask them what's going on with this. I'm sure they'll tell you we don't do things that way. Because
right.
I've never heard them operating outside the regular U.S. mail. Never.
Yeah, because North Dakota is usually pretty good about sending you notices and they give you letters and that. And I had one when I was trucking. I'd got a ticket for not signaling the lane change and in Ohio. And the patrolman, which was kind of bogus, he was following me for the longest time and tailgating me. But anyway, I got a ticket and he said, well, I don't know where you're supposed to send it, but you'll get a letter from the whatever that county that it was in, and never got the letter and forgot about it. And you know, a couple 2-3 months later, I'm getting pulled over in my hometown and for allegedly speeding in a 25 mile zone. I was going 28 29, pulled over here, my license had been suspended and I didn't even know it. And what had happened is when I called DMV, the Ohio whatever sent it to, they tried sending stuff to me, but they had the wrong address. And I told the patrolman, this is not my address, and I gave it to him. My address is not the one on the license. I just recently moved, and I haven't had time to go in and get it changed. And so he wrote it down, but they were sending it to an old address, and stuff was just coming back. And same thing.
They're creatures of habit. A lot of people are when you get into things that's just always the same thing, and they're just pulling off the computer through your license in your case. And, yeah, they're not paying attention to anything else.
Yeah, so anyway, I called North Dakota, and they said, yeah, well, they tried sending me notices, but you had the wrong address. I'd already changed the address. Well, that's a different department. Baloney, it's a DMV. What are you talking about? Anyway, I had to pay a stupid fine.
All right, well, we're going to move on to Tim.
Okay, all right. So I'll just do a search for that particular one. I'll try, maybe go down to the auditor's office and find out for sure if that's the deal, too. But the thing is, I never got anything on it. That's what's so hard about that.
Well, if you do get a real ticket, and anybody who gets a real ticket, it's a good place to practice if you really want to be able to go into the courts. You know, we give instructions here how to deal with the traffic court and all the paperwork and that you need to put together and send in. It's a series of different things. And so if you follow that process, at least you're doing everything right. Not that you're going to win. I mean, generally, I have won in traffic court where they just get so frustrated with me and, you know, that's that.
What folder would I go under to find that? That's what I was going to ask you. Is there, because I got a lot of the stuff out of that common law handbook, but the things that they do are unconstitutional.
Under education starts here.
Okay.
You see that if you're in with a computer or something, it looks like.
Yep.
So education starts here, come down to law, and then come over to, come down to law, and then, my mouse doesn't want to work with me today. Then you come over to court forms and process, and that's the page I'm on right now. Just come down a little bit, then you'll see instructions and forms for traffic court. And the kind of paperwork that you really want to put in. But if you're really trying to learn, I mean, this is, of course, set you up to get practice, okay, because, you know, the worst case in the traffic court, you're going to end up paying the fine, or they're going to assault you, and, you know, with their extortion, taking your license away and putting you in jail if you drive and all that other BS. But, you know, to really learn what's going on, you should take the law course, of course.
Yeah.
You can find it on the top right side here. You know, learn due process, more information, click here. And it's a 90-hour law course. I think it's a pretty good course. And
the only thing about all this stuff happened to me in the last couple of years is a good experience for me for the COS.
Look, our liberty is in the court. I mean, it's in the law, you know. So, you know, that's where our heritage is. And our inheritance is liberty. Okay, but if you don't know the law, you can't really know how much liberty you really have, and nor can you really deal with problems really a stable position, you know.
But, I just don't understand how even the city, if it is legit, how they can threaten to take my vehicle away from me and all this other crap without due process.
They do whatever they want. Yeah. They do it. So.
Okay, all right.
All right. By the way, anybody else wants to get into the queue? Again, it's a *6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and if you're on an Apple browser, there should be a button there to get into the queue. We're going to take our next caller. Okay, Tim, you got the mic. What state are you from, Tim?
Tim from Connecticut. Hey, John, how are you?
How are you doing, Tim? Good.
All right. So I want to mention that I received something, the same thing that guy received on my smartphone, and
well,
I'm saying about a ticket, and I haven't received a ticket for I don't know how many years, so I know it's bogus. So I wanted to, you know, somehow I think that the people who are behind this, the scammers, they're out now. They're doing the ticket thing, and he said he's from North Dakota, so apparently they're doing this right now. You know, in motion or whatever. So yeah, I wanted to, say that to kind of give that guy some peace of mind that it's just bogus scam.
Well, there's three different stories from three different states, and I don't know of any state who really would operate under that condition. So I mean, that makes it pretty clear that it is a problem. You know, if you do. PayPal, I get a lot of stuff from PayPal, you know, all these scammers with PayPal, but and of course I just ignore it, so.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for taking my call.
Okay. All right, thanks again, Tim. Okay, we'll take the next caller. Again, we only have one other person left in the queue, so if anybody wants to get into the queue, now's the time. Let's see. Looks like, is this Sean? Is that how you pronounce that? S-H-A-W-N?
Sean. Yes.
What state you're from?
California.
Okay. Go right ahead. Welcome.
This is hilarious. So to remind you, John, we've spoken a couple of times. So I actually did receive a traffic ticket a while back, and I used the education that you have available to go to court and fight it, and filed all the paperwork in advance like you had suggested, and they refused to accept it. I don't know if you remember, I had this very belligerent judge who was acting as my attorney and entered a plea on my behalf. And
I'd love to do that.
Yes, and so I was online for the last, I was on video conference, you know, for the last hearing or whatever, where he pronounced me guilty, sentenced me, ordered a fine, and then kicked me out of the courtroom off the video, you know. And so I just, you know, never responded to anything. I just said, screw it. I'm not even going to give this any attention. But about 2 weeks ago, I literally got a text message that sounds exactly like the ones that you guys are talking about, and told me the same thing that you guys mentioned, that I had a ticket, I had a fine, I need to pay it by, you know, the next day or a week later, or, you know, all those things were going to happen. So it was the same language, but I actually do have a ticket, but I deleted it. So now I can't, like, go back and look to see if it said anything that was legitimate, like if it was from the county where I actually got the ticket or anything like that. But this is so funny and ironic.
Yeah, well, you'll hear from them if, you know, on the real ticket eventually.
Well, yes, and I figured that, but I'm still going to ignore it because...
Oh, yeah, but you'll get it through a letter. You won't get it through the phone.
Right.
That's insanity.
And then I wanted to ask the gentleman, I can't remember who it was that read from Proverbs earlier. Can you remind me which verse that was?
Well, we're reading Luke. Oh, Eric.
Oh, thank you. The gentleman that just read the scripture.
I think it was 1 Kings 29.
It was Proverbs 29. Yeah, I don't remember.
Okay, that's good. I'll find it, though, because I know what I'm looking for. So Proverbs 29. Thank you.
Yeah, Proverbs 29. Towards the end of 29. So it's like the last four verses of 29, Proverbs 29, right before Proverbs 30, obviously. You'll find it there.
All right. Appreciate it.
All right, anything else? Because nobody else is in the queue, so if you have anything else.
Well, I can just, if nobody else is, you know, dying to get in here, I can just give you a little update. So also to remind you, my husband is the one that's in prison out here unlawfully, and I can't get anybody to help us get him into court and get him out. And I went ahead and wrote Trump a letter a couple of weeks ago explaining the situation, and so... if y'all want to just kind of say a little prayer for Tommy and his freedom, I would appreciate that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, again, anybody that wants to go into the courts, so you have to understand how the courts work. So, you know, and we offer a good course, but, you know, there are other courses out there, but not the way we teach it, because we really focus in on the common law. But, you know, the system is set up pretty good. The problem is that they've altered the law, what the law is, and they moved it to civil law. So that is the big problem. So.
Right. And the lawyers that I have shared your paperwork with say that it's rubbish.
Of course. Yeah, because it's so contradictory to everything that they've learned. They have to come to realize that they've been scammed.
And totally 100%.
Couple of hundred thousand dollars or whatever it costs to go to their law schools and get their quote-unquote license is another scam, and lawyers they're really difficult to talk to. You can't convince a lawyer of anything. They're just true believers in the lie.
Totally brainwashed.
Terry, do you have your hand up for something? You want to bring something in?
I do. Oddly enough.
I never pay attention to the hand, but I happened to look to see that little yellow glove.
That's all right. I didn't know how to join the queue, and I can cut in. You know, I can talk anytime I want. But I was listening to a guy last night, David Roberts from over on the re-inhabited side. They're having a little schism right now. But as I listened to David Roberts, he asked the question. He said, "How many?" And now I wanted to get you and Gerard's opinion on this. He said, "How many branches of government are there?" And he postulated there are six.
I agree. There are six.
Okay. So he said the right to assemble, peaceably assemble, is the first one, and because of that, we can make our own assembly.
Well, you said branches of government.
Yeah, branches of government.
Well, you know, there were three on the federal level and three on your state level.
No, he was going more of the first right is to assemble peaceably.
Well, that's right. Now he's talking about rights, not branches of government.
Well, he's saying that when we assemble as an assembly, that like a committee of safety.
Yeah, well, with the dissenters. I don't know that I know in United States versus Williams, he refers to kind of a fourth branch, but not claiming to be a fourth branch, being the people themselves, and particularly through the grand jury specifically. And I would venture to say also the trial jury, also the petit jury. But no, as far as branches of government, there are three branches of government. I don't know why he's saying it that way. There are three branches on the federal level, and there are three on your state level.
He's laying in, you know, we as Americans can have a peaceable assembly.
Well, the consensus, though, that's who we are. We are the people. We're not part of the branch of the government. We're the sovereigns who decide what we're going to agree to or not. And as a matter of fact, in a court of law, that is the final word, which is the people. It's called the jury. And the jury can nullify anything they want. They can nullify any kind of a statute or regulation or anything they might bring up. And which usually should be against somebody who is actually operating under commercial or working for the government or whatever the case may be, some agency. But you know, again, the power of the people is clear. We, the people, ordained and established. I would not agree with the idea of being called a branch. So I don't see it.
His other one was a regulated militia to back the right of the assembly, and then the right of common law grand juries.
All of that brings us back to the people, every single one of them. Even the militia brings us right back to the people.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to get your opinion. Thank you, sir.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Sean? We're done?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
We're done for now.
Okay, we're going to go. I got Robert here from Texas. Again, anybody wants to get into the queue, *6 and 1 if you're on the phone, and should be a button for an app or browser. Robert from Texas, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hey, John. Tomorrow, supposedly, a guy named Kenoa Downing has 2 million affidavits that are to be submitted to the Supreme Court in D.C.
2 million? Wow.
Right. Have you ever heard of this guy?
What's his name?
Kenoa Downing. TANAWAH.
Rings no bell.
And his website is that, TANAWAH.com.
What's the subject matter that they're looking to discuss? And give me that website again.
It's his first name is Kenoa, TANAWAH.
.com?
.com. Yeah, I believe that's it. Yep. And so Kenoa Downing.
Having trouble getting that.
D-O-W-N-I-N-G.
Let's start all over. TANAWAH, correct?
Right.
.com?
Right.
Yeah, it's not showing up on my computer.
Is that coming up?
No, it says having trouble finding that site.
Well, put www.
Oh, it's always there. You never have to put it. It's over.
www.
I'll do that, but shouldn't have to. I never do. I never put that in. But that's what made it work. You're right. Wow. No kidding. Get after you. Shall be free. What is it that he's looking for these affidavits for?
It's for people. Well, it's basically 700,000 prisoners and 12 million babies that haven't gotten due process under the Fifth Amendment with,
there's not one person in jail, in my opinion, that has gotten due process. And that's how serious this problem is.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time understanding you. Maybe my ears are failing. His argument to me was very compelling. There's a guy from East Texas his mother is a county clerk and his dad's the county commissioner. And he went up and spoke at a rally on the 6th Sunday. And he's been traveling the states. He served 46 attorney generals, whatever paper he's doing. He's been doing it for 2 years.
Is he a disgruntled lawyer?
He used to be military intelligence, and no, he's not a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing the Constitution thing.
I was just making the point, if it's a disgruntled lawyer, not happy with the way the law system's working and actually a lawyer. You know, again, I've met a couple of them already. They're far and in between, but they're out there.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy is not a, he's never been a liar. He, got his kids stolen like everybody else. And he's been doing this for like 10 years, but for 2 years he's done it like, and I'm trying to remember, I'm getting a little fuzzy in my old age, but he's been around the United States twice in the last 2 years. He shows up at commissions, councils, and school boards. And he speaks on 3 minutes. He basically does the lesser magistrates thing. He didn't say that, but, you know, like Matthew Trujillo, if you advise somebody in elected position of a problem like with the Fifth Amendment and due process and not getting a trial by jury, then if you don't fix the problem, then you become part of the problem that needs to be fixed.
Yeah, well, the other side of that problem is the people who have had trials by juries, the juries are always stacked. Every time, they're always stacked.
Yeah, well, he's on to that. Because, well, basically, they're putting an adversary, which is the DA that calls the grand jury, and the defendant cannot face his accuser in front of that grand jury. And there's supposed to be, you know, that opportunity, because if you go in, you know.
Well, what happens if you're coming in and you're taking care of your own business and being your own lawyer, and you got to now question the accuser? So how do they deal with that if you can't face your accuser?
Well, and once again, I'm having a little hard time hearing you. It's kind of muffled somehow, but
is anyone else hearing me pulled or problem hearing? Was it just on his side?
Anyway, I'm sorry. He's not fighting the individual cases. He's fighting for everybody.
Right.
And since the Supreme Court is original jurisdiction for constitutional issues, he's feeling that, he knows that the Supreme Court should take this. The one problem that he had was, it was about 10 days or so ago, Trump issued a declaration of rebellion. Did you hear that?
No. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I heard it. It was on a Monday. So what is today? Today's Monday. So it was last Monday, I guess. And
he issued a declaration of rebellion?
Yes. You know, just like to remove habeas corpus. And
it's really strange. They're all upset that these illegal aliens aren't getting their habeas corpus. Got to give them habeas. I can't get habeas corpus. They're going to give it to them. Yeah.
Well, yeah. But anyway, we're not. You know, we're not talking about the illegals. We're talking about we're talking about the mothers and the parents and the prisoners that did not get due process.
But tell me, Trump filed a declaration of what now?
It was a, and once again, I'm having trouble with things and legal stuff. It's a declaration of, I think it was a declaration of rebellion. What's the other? But anyway, basically, it's in the Constitution, and that is the one condition where habeas corpus can be denied.
Oh,
and I
rebellion. Well, it's a different word. I'll see if I can find it. I know what that is now. Yeah, the only time that habeas corpus could be set aside, and he might do that also, when it does identify with rebellion. You know, it's an uprising. And I'll see if I can find it as you're talking. Go ahead.
Yeah, once again, I'm having a hard time hearing you. But it's, you know, if we're invaded, you know, and it really is a war.
Okay, where is that at, Rob, you know?
I've read it. It's in during times of insurrection. That's what the Insurrection Act is about. So now you're suspending the Constitution.
Well, you're
at war.
But keep in mind, even then, it's to be localized. It's
that's right.
Where the insurrection is, not the whole country, you know, just because.
Yeah. Well, in my estimation, it's really the government that's in rebellion for the insurrection. And so...
Foreign and domestic.
So, you know, they're calling black, white, and evil good, and you know, so it's
light for darkness and darkness for light.
Anyway, I hope you can get to that website. He's got a lot of things to click on. I did go to his Facebook? Anyway, he has a bunch of videos, and they're very contemporary. I mean, and
this buddy of mine that's, you know, had all kinds of over $1 million in bail for speaking out in court, commissioner's court. He spoke up there, but Tanawa was very compelling. You can go on for 3 hours without, you know, he walks in and he looks just like dead to the world. And then when he starts talking about law and the Constitution and our rights, he's just like fresh as a daisy and as bright as a, you know, a beacon. So anyway, it's pretty amazing. But I was hoping you knew of him and could give a, you know, some kind of reference, because I have a tendency to get overexcited about things. But this
I've never heard of this guy, but I do have his webpage open. It's, you know, just quickly breezing through, it's not clear what he's doing, so I'd have to really read through to see what he's doing. I don't know.
Yeah. He says he has 13 pallets. Each of them have 40 boxes, and they're full of these petitions.
Well, that's a lot of work to do something like that. Too bad he wasn't working with us to do what we're doing.
Yeah, I know. There's so many people that we could aggregate with, you know, and, you know, getting people to do, anyway, there's your website and all the information and all that is unsurpassed. And it just seems like, you know, we need a voice, but we'll be getting choked down or throttled with all the, you know, social and unsocial media stuff, and I don't know. But anyway, what I would like, and he wrote some scripts for people to, you know, 3-minute scripts for people to take to their commissioner's court and tell them how their courts are violating the Fifth Amendment and, you know, not allowing due process or habeas corpus. And so anyway, if each county, you know, had like 10 people with a on the same subject, their own script or his script or him doing multiple scripts, it just seems like it would aggregate some people. It could be, you know, the core of a committee of safety, you know, just showing up at commissions, councils, and boards. And especially, you know, the city council, I'm so teed off at that because, and the first thing our founders did after we signed the treaty was put 10,000 Bibles in schools, and then 17 of them signed the Declaration. So we got to get the Bible back into, get it back into all schools at all levels, not just an elected.
We've written papers on that, and we've also included that in some of our papers to the Supreme Court and to Trump, and I don't know.
We have
to do that. You know, there's no blessings if we don't acknowledge the king of the court. And if we don't want to accept the king of the court, then some man is king of the court. You're accepting, you know, the clown that is really a servant that is making all these summary decisions. And by the way, it's Article 1, Section 9. The second clause. It says the privilege of writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended unless, when in cases of rebellion or invasion, the public safety may require it. So, and as Eric said, that would be really in an area. I mean, look at what was taking place out in California there. There's no reason to suspend the habeas corpus throughout all of the states if it's only happening in that one state and generally within that city. So, because we have to use common sense on this, you know. It's rebellion or invasion.
Okay. One or two other things.
I think Trump threatened on that, didn't he? I think Trump threatened on that. That might have been.
No, he actually called it, is what I understand. But anyway,
everything
subject to verification.
Well, he'd have to declare a rebellion or an invasion. And I'm not sure he actually.
He just said rebellion.
He speaks about it, but I don't know that he actually made the declaration. Because then that
well, the declaration may have been my word.
That shuts every court down at that point.
He might have said state of rebellion or something. Anyway, the other thing about this Kanawha guy, he was down in Guantanamo. He was in the military, and he was one of the ones trying to get the information out of these people that are presumed guilty, you know, and I guess that really got to him. Because, you know, you're taking these guys that are sort of like the J6ers, you know, in 2021, and, you know, they're totally innocent, yet they're making them plead guilty. And then also what he said, 98% of the cases are plea bargained, you know.
Yeah, that's unlawful also. You can't plea bargain a case. The only one that could plea bargain a case is actually the jury themselves, and the grand jury has the power to do that also. They can negotiate something even without even having going into the courts and sign it up as a contract, an agreement, or whatever you want to call it. But yeah.
Well, here in Texas, the judges don't let the jury do anything, and if they're going to talk about the Constitution at all, they have to leave the room.
They don't use the jury at all. Look, they just don't use it. They'll go into the grand jury, they'll get their indictment on a few things, and all that, and a lot of it, who knows what that's all about. But once they get going, then they start to add more charges on top and do other things that isn't approved by the jury. Then they try to negotiate, well, look, you're facing 20 years here, buddy, and just plead guilty, we'll give you 3, okay? This is the game they play, you know? Again, more extortion. That's all they do is extort us, you know?
Right, well, and it's got to be fixed. And, you know, I'm optimistic that this guy might be able to pull it off, especially, you know, from his present, you know, on his website or Facebook or whatever. It's got, you know, those recent videos, like yesterday or the day before. And you know, notifies all these commissioners' courts, and it's just a matter of, you know, getting enough of we the people to show up and insist that justice be done, and we put you guys in office, and you swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, and we've got 12 million children.
Yeah, the problem is it doesn't seem that the people are interested in taking control of their government. You know, I see a lot of people complain, and they, you know, and they do all this, say all these things, but then when it's time to step up to do something, they don't step up to do it. I mean, look at safety is the key. There is no I've said this it's exaggerating 1,000. Maybe I did say it 1,000 times. Who knows? The thing is, you cannot have government by consent outside of a committee of safety, and you can call that committee of safety anything you want. It doesn't matter. People coming together, forming committees, looking at the problems and dealing with the problems because we have government by consent and require them to obey or remove them from office. Or indict.
That's exactly right. And, you know, he's real big on, he said the best you can expect is 3%, you know,
lawyers think that's crazy, what I just said. They actually believe that that's crazy. They look for an authority. Or, you know, I have an authority. His name is God, you know, Jesus Christ. That's my authority.
Yeah, that's the first sentence of 76, and then the first sentence of 1787 is we the people, in order to establish.
God gave us that authority. So, yeah, the people are the authority over the government. We have government by consent to the people. So, all right, if you got something final, we are starting to get people.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks, Robert. Okay, Brett, you got the mic. What state you're from, Brett? I know we spoke to you.
Yes, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Yeah, so habeas corpus. Now, is that federal or is that?
Habeas corpus is in any court of record. Could be a county court, could be a state court, or it could be a federal court. You can bring habeas corpus into any of them. It's all part of the law process.
Okay, would you encourage using their paperwork or creating our own, because their paperwork is kind of distracting.
It depends on the paperwork. You know, I mean, when you file a case in the courts, they have this game they're playing with words, and they just leave court of record out of it. So I reduplicate their paperwork and add in court of record, and usually the clerks don't even realize that it's really, I just added court of record in there. But generally speaking, the forms that they have are good. They serve a purpose. And you change them accordingly. And anything that kind of leans towards civil law, you know, just change those words. You can create your own forms, but you should work off the standard form. At least that's how you can learn how due process works and, you know, what to do.
Should you use the paperwork?
Well, again, yes, and you can alter and rewrite them the way you want to write them. Like if you go into our court access courts, here's the court access table of contents. And in here, we have lots of forms that you can download, and generally you work off of them. I might even have some forms that I had altered. I think I have them under education, law, and then court forms and process. I might have some over there. But there are forms that they have. They work well. And as a matter of fact, let's see. Right here on, let me go to a different page here. Court forms and links right here. Here's forms. And you can get a form for all kinds of different things. And so use that as your framework. And sometimes you don't have to change anything in them. You know, again, it's a form that moves the court. That's what these forms really do.
Okay. Now, notices, can they be contested in court or?
Like a notice in demand or what kind of a notice?
Or like any time notice. So like, for example, if something is posted, a public notice to something, and then something happens and you go into court, they bring in, well, it's been posted and it's noticed, and I'm just wondering if that's contestable.
Yes, that's a good question. It does seem to have some validity, but you know, if you're not a reader of a particular paper, I mean, nobody reads a newspaper anymore anyway, you know? So how are you going to put the notice out there? And I mean, generally, it would be a local newspaper, which generally most people would read maybe when that was the way of news, you know? What power and validity that it has, I never thought about that.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, so if I'm not part of participating in that, reading that newspaper that it might be posted or whatever the case may be, then what power or authority does that have over me that would make me default if I didn't respond to whatever that notice might be that might have something to do with me? You know, I don't know.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just never gave thought to that. Okay.
So what if it's like judicial notice? Okay, if you're putting in a judicial notice and the paperwork, could a judge contest that?
Okay, so now we have something going into the court, a notice, okay, going into the court. You know, I got a case that I'm doing, and I never thought of doing the quo warranto in the against the court, because I never really thought about doing that. I got a case. I think I'm going to do a quo warranto, and by what authority they act, because they totally violated the law and moved towards rules as if the rules are law, and their ALJs, which is administrative law judges, and the cases I open are always courts of record, which is common law, and they can't make any summary judgment in that. And, you know, I've always maybe objected or something. But I think I'm going to move for, a paper, and it requires them to show cause, you know. Again, a notice depends on what kind of notice, but there's all kinds of notices. So.
Hey, John?
Yeah.
I just want to say every municipality, every area, every court has a list of one or two public information papers that they use for notices. And those are the ones that you should be putting your stuff in. It doesn't matter. Certain things, you know, like if people refuse to answer, it doesn't matter as long as you put a public notice in the paper and you save that paper. As far as the court's concerned, they've been noticed. because they recognize.
When you say putting a notice, are you talking about filing in a court case or filing it in a newspaper?
Well, you might be noticing that you're filing a court case, whatever legal notice you want to make, whether you're, you know, I mean, even to secure a title for a car, I had to notice in the paper for so many days.
Right.
You know what I mean? And save the receipt, and they accept that. So what all I'm saying is they have certain newspapers that are considered, you know, you can't put it in porcupine soup. That's not a paper.
I've heard of this too. I've always heard of these things for as long as I can remember, about people putting notices in the newspaper or something, and it becomes, you know, legal and lawful as a notification.
Oh, they do divorces that way too. They make you put a legal notice in the paper.
But if it's on one individual, or even a couple of individuals, and you have their contact information, the notice should be sent directly to them. I would make that argument if that would happen, as long as you can prove the fact that, hey, they know who I'm at, who I am, they know where I'm at. Why didn't they notify me directly? You know. But I do know I never gave a lot of thought to these things. So.
Well, I think it's more for people that don't respond, or you don't know where they're at, or whatever.
Right. That I understand.
So you have to put it in the paper to show that you did due diligence. I mean, you should probably try to serve it first. If the service fails, I mean, or you can serve it and put it in the paper. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. Right. I agree. I mean, that.
You've got to find out what paper that court lists as an official notice. They pick them. They pick two or three of them every year.
Really?
Yeah. When I was on the town board, we had to decide what paper we're gonna look at. There's meetings, and you got to have announcements in papers, and it's very serious.
Well, you definitely want to get a paper that is, used or read in that particular community.
Exactly.
So I mean, if you use a community paper versus something that's more like, you know, maybe. Statewide or
well, every new board picks, like when a new board comes in every 4 years, then they pick what newspapers they're going to use for the purposes of noticing. And the courts do the same thing. The courts have, if you call them up and ask them what paper they notice in, they'll tell you. And I mean, if I'm dealing with that court, that's the paper I would use.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know.
Oh, okay. All right, back to you, Brett. Anything else?
No.
You want to take the mic, by the way, Gerard?
I'm sorry?
What time is it?
Oh. Almost 10. Oh, it's 10:30.
Yeah, not that much time, sure.
Right. Brett, what did you say? I missed that.
Yeah, sorry. No, I did, but I'll have to. I didn't write it down, so it escaped me. So I yield right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Just hit the next question for you, Gerard.
Okay, next question. It says FW.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, how you doing all? So
beautiful.
I have a quick question. Since one of our quote-unquote, approaches is to try to hold the courts accountable to being Article 3 court, and you know, if we're lucky enough to get them to accept that that's legit, and they need to honor a trial by jury or jury trial, I always get those two mixed up, but and yet those juries are stacked anyway. I mean, really, how much headway do we make other than maybe they'll just drop the case because they don't want to go through the expense of a jury trial? But if they do go through with it and they stack the jury, we're really no much better off, right?
No, you're not. That's true. Listen, they will do whatever they can not to have a trial. They don't want to have a trial.
Right. They don't want to have a trial.
They want to make the decision.
What's that?
They want to make the decision. They want to do summary judgments. Matter of fact, right. I'm looking at a paper right now, and here is the, you know, this was a court of record that was opened by somebody I know, and the preliminary statement was made concerning the judge that granted summary judgment to the lender, who wasn't the lender anyway, because the banks are not a lender. This was a mortgage thing, and they're not the lender because it's not the bank, so they are not the lender. And even the bank is not the lender. They're just really the operator that sets the process up, the in-between between you and the Fed window. But the thing is right here, granting summary judgment. That annihilates the position of that summary judgment in a court of record. Now, whether they're going to listen to it or not, they're not going to listen because they like their rules. They make their rules and they can do whatever they want.
Okay, that's all. I just, I don't know what it's going to take to overcome this because people...
The only thing that's going to overcome this is actually get our courts of justice open again. And that, of course, is what we're battling for. And that is what people should be supporting, by the way, because it does cost money to do this. And
well, yeah, but what I'm saying is, like,
people are not doing is they're not supporting the people that are doing the work here, you know?
So, okay, but then, like, that's fine. That is absolutely true. But, you know, in the meantime, there's individuals like myself, like that lady from California with her husband, and so on and so on, and traffic tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we go in and we try to stand up to all this, and more often than not we get not only ruled against, but sometimes just because they're pissed off they come especially heavy handed down on us. So I mean, is it maybe don't do these things until more organized changes are made?
There's only one way to repair this problem, and it's a radical thing. But when you think about it, it's a lawful thing, so therefore it's not a radical thing. And that is to arrest every judge on the state and federal level. Every single one of them need to go spend some time in jail. They need
yes.
to go time to think about what they've been doing. And they are so evil, and they have no clue on how evil that they really are. They're not.
Even the judges that were taken, you know, were caught with the whole immigration thing. They're even getting out of it. I mean, just these high-level people are just not being held accountable, even though they've broken the law on a grand scale.
Every single one of these judges are there to shut the door of justice. And there is no worse a violation by a government than that. When you shut the doors of justice, you have nothing. You have no power. You have nothing. There's nothing you can do. You don't have habeas corpus. You don't have due process. You don't have a court of justice. And that's why every single one is guilty, because they have injured so many people, so many people. And all these minions of the New World Order, I'd like to see them all go to jail too, but that may be a little bit of push. Look, at the bottom line, don't come into the courts no more. Just leave, okay? They should lose. We should apply the 13th Amendment. They should lose their citizenship, and maybe we should send them, out. They can go live on a ship at sea or somewhere or whatever.
I mean, I agree. And like, I don't want to get off, but to me, it's a similar thing with the immigration, where they're rounding up the illegal immigrants as they should, but they should be also holding serious accountability on all the companies, large and small, they do this on purpose. They know they're getting cheap labor. It doesn't matter the fact they're hurting Americans that are stealing those jobs, and then have the audacity to say that Americans they don't want to do those jobs. No, they want the job. They just can't compete with an undercut of the salary that right. gets funded by the government anyway.
Yeah, their logic and position is that they're filling jobs that no one else wants, and
which
that
is a lie. They're doing it because they have the cheap labor.
Of course, because I've been in the construction field all my life, most of my life anyway, and I could tell you it's full of a lot of illegal aliens, that a lot of Mexicans and different people that are working in the construction field. You know?
And not just that. I heard Nancy, I heard someone talking about this and kind of revealing it. And there was a speech from Nancy Pelosi several years ago. And she's like, oh, of course we care about, you know, well, you know, whatever, the Americans. But we need to get the workers for the agriculture, the cheap labor for the agriculture, for California. So that's their reason. They're in cahoots with the businesses and they want the cheap labor. But my point is, the judges and these corporations who are hiring the and do they're the ones encouraging the illegal activity, whether it's unjust treatment of people, which is in a way worse, but it's unjust treatment economically as well and destroying their lives that way. They need to be held accountable just even more severely because the impact is higher, but they don't. And until it's like with prostitutes and johns, they go after the prostitute but not the john. You take away the demand, guess what? You don't have the product. So you take away the pusher, you know, you don't have to worry about the poor slob that's addicted to heroin, and so on and so forth. They got to go after the big ones that are creating the environment and encouraging that environment. So yeah,
it has to start with the judges, though. So.
Yes, it has to start. But yet, do we have? I don't see. You know, like Fauci should have been arrested a million years ago.
I think they're going to get to him.
Eventually. But it should be quicker. It should be immediate. It should be a direct line. The only reason it isn't.
I know that people want that. But there are other things that need to be done first. There's also more things that people need to see. And then also, you know, when it comes to a court case, you know, it takes time to build a court case, even to the point of saying,
and
okay.
It takes relatively no time at all to build a court case against someone who is going 4 miles over the speed limit. I mean, come on. Seriously, it shouldn't be that. We can't have that many excuses. And if we do, we gotta simplify the process, because they can always cloud and say, well, there's more to it, blah, blah, blah. No, cut to the chase, get it done.
Yeah. All right, well, we got to move on because we do all of a sudden have a lot of people in the queue. So.
Good, I'm glad. But, like, you know, a different method has to be determined to get where everything we're saying is absolutely correct. Injustice is flying all over the place, mostly to the little guy down the streamline, and where it really matters, which is the structural, which is the people at the top making the rules and benefiting, they're getting off, or at least it's being delayed so much as it might get forgotten.
Yeah,
so that's got to stop.
The corruption's pretty wild out there. So, all right, we got to move on, though.
All right,
Gerard.
Okay, next up is Sean.
It's Sean, and Sean, make it short because we have three other people in here, and we've already spoken.
All I wanted to say, John, was it's in response to whomever it was that was talking about that guy, Tanawa. He doesn't know about you, and you don't know about him, so, you know, maybe it would be nice to kind of try and make a connection and join forces. That's all I wanted to say.
Who is this? Who are you talking about? Because I...
There's a guy, Canola, there, whatever his name is.
Canola, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the problem is people are hard to get a hold of. You have no idea how much time I've spent trying to get a hold of people with podcasts and different things. They make themselves impossible to reach. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to try and make contact with him myself because I think this is a divine connection here that I learned about a new.
Yeah, if you could, that's what people should be doing. You know, the people that are coming to listen to these calls, they should take it upon themselves to try to connect other people with us, people who are compatible with people who
work,
podcasters who will give us interviews and that kind of stuff.
I will do that because this guy, I did look up his Facebook, and he does have a clip on there of a podcast he did with Patriot Street Fighter. I don't know if you guys know who he is, Scott McKay.
Rod, you know him, right?
Yes, I do.
He's a big
We met him, John, when we went to the...
Yes, I remember, but I don't know him.
You gave him a book.
Yeah, he never did.
He's on the Reawaken America tour, so he knows a lot of people.
Yeah, John and I went down there and met him.
Yeah. Cool.
So,
that's all I wanted to say. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
All
right.
Okay. Thank you. I didn't get her name. Hang on. Next question. Is Charlotte? Charlotte Coop?
Well, my name is Kathy, and I'm in Minnesota.
Okay. Very good. We'll take you.
I'm calling about several things. First off, Tanawha Downing is legitimate. I have his cell number. I have met with him personally when he served the Minnesota Secretary of State's office. He is legit. I don't know what I can do to connect you two, but what I'm calling about, I've also been trying to get a hold of Eric for some time. I don't know if he's still on the call. I don't know what is the best way to reach him. Does anybody have any?
Well, you can. Yeah, he's gone. He usually takes off a little early because he works in the morning. But you can get him. Eric.
I've got his personal email address, which he was helping me write my affidavit about 2 years ago, and that's what I've been trying to reach him about. So I have his personal email address. I've got his National Liberty Alliance. I've got his cell phone number, but
he should be reachable on that. Or if you get into the next month, he's usually here every Monday. So, but he does leave. I don't know what time he leaves, but he leaves earlier, maybe 10:15, 10:30. I don't know. But try to get him next Monday here, or nationallibertyalliance.org. Send him an email to that one.
I will do that. So what I'm calling about,
I believe he's E-R-I-C.
So many people were talking about traffic tickets. I was out in Washington, D.C. with the toll and roll group. If you want to, I would encourage everybody to go to their website, toll and roll, A-N-D, spelled out, toll and roll, R-O-L-L. com. But anyway, I was out there for like the first week of May for about a week, and I got a parking ticket. So this is what I would like your advice on the parking ticket. So the parking ticket was for reserved motorcycle space only. I parked there 2 days in a row, right downtown Washington, D.C. The motorcycle parking was not, it was written in microscopic print, and I do mean microscopic print. I took pictures of the sign and everything. So it was a $25 fine, but they've added a $25 penalty, and they just mailed this to me last week. So the amount is up to $50 now, but I'm the type of person that I just, I would like to not pay it because in my mind it was a scam, you know. It was not properly, you could not read the motorcycle part at all. And they had a parking app that was equally confusing. I asked I don't know how many people. And
did you get a court date yet for this?
No, they just sent me the ticket last week, and like I said, it went up from the $25 fine to a $25 penalty, and there's all sorts of instructions while I was on hold with you. I just took a photo of it so I could email it to somebody, you know, Eric or John Deere. I could email it to anybody or contact you by phone. I do have most people's phone numbers at NASA.
So, you know, they didn't give you a chance to plead on it. In other words, they just made it.
No, it's got instructions on the ticket, though. It says,
if you want to fight the ticket, go to nationallibertyalliance.org. Under education starts here, come down to law. And then when you come to law, come over to court forms and process. Okay?
Law, court forms, and process. Okay.
Right. Now, when you get there, you'll see instructions. Just scroll down a little bit. There's instructions for a lot of things here. Instructions and forms for traffic court. Okay, you want to come in with an appearance ticket. You want to file that appearance ticket. You want to come in, letting them know that you come, and it's all written up in here. And a special appearance, you're here to challenge the jurisdiction.
And I can do this all through the mail. I don't have to drive to Washington.
Well, I do everything through the mail, and I usually don't end up even going into court. But there has been times when I did go into court. But look, I don't even bother that no more. Once they abuse the process and they deny you due process, then you know. At this point, I take it into the state court. Now, what really sucks is the fact that they've unified the courts. They probably did that in every state. They did that here in New York. So if they unified the courts, then I shouldn't have to go pay anything. They've come out after me, okay? I'm the defendant at this point, and I'm challenging their jurisdiction. And now I should be able to move that into federal court or to state court. You should start with state court, depending on the situation. In this case, I go to state court, of course, with this. You move it to state court for cause for denial of due process. And I know the last time I done that, they made me pay money. I was there arguing, but you can only argue so much before a cop comes up behind you and then you start to run into problems, you know. They must have a little button behind the desk over there at the clerk's.
Well, I guess I'll do that. I'll go to your website and find the forms. But the long and the short of it, this was in Washington, D.C. I don't think I'm ever going to go back there. They can't.
Yeah, you could do it all through. You could do it all. You could do it all through the mail. You could do it all through the mail. Okay. The thing is, if you can't beat it, you're going to want to pay the fine because they will take your license away. Even though you don't need a license to drive, you don't want to drive without a license unless you don't mind spending time in jail, you know.
I don't mind spending time in jail. So you're recommending going all the way through fighting it, and then if I lose, you're recommending to pay it then?
That's well, you challenge jurisdiction, and when they ignore the due process, which is a challenge that they have to respond to, then you can move it to state court. And you would look at the mistake a lot of people make is they may try to sue the state. You know, they sue the court or whatever. You don't want to sue the court. You want to sue the individuals who are in that court that have the power and authority of whatever jurisdiction they're under, and they stepped outside of their jurisdiction. And every time you walk into a court, they're always stepping outside their jurisdiction because they're administrative jurisdictions. They're ALJs, administrative law judges. So therefore, as soon as they do something and respond against an individual who's not under that process, they've stepped out and they start to extort you. Now they stepped outside of their authority. They're abusing you, and you deserve to be able to sue them and get money from them. Because that's the only thing that's going to give them a little pain, and maybe they'll think about it next time.
Okay, I've taken your common law course, John, so... all right, I will follow the instructions on your website. And
we also have that in the course, too, those papers. So,
okay.
But you can get it right off the website, you know, right on that page there.
How could I be helpful to getting Tanoa's phone number? Should I email it to you? I've got his phone number.
Who's Tanoa that? Downing. Well, this guy here that on this page?
Yeah.
You want me to?
Yeah, email the phone number. Okay. Maybe we'll give it to
off. Okay. I'll have to
look a little bit into what he's doing, so I don't want to call him and not know what he's doing. So.
Okay, I yield. Thank you.
Just email it to mail, and we'll all have it. mail@nationallibertyalliance.org.
Will do.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Next up is John.
From Michigan, Mr. John.
You talking to me, John?
We're talking to you, John.
Okay.
How you doing?
I have more of a statement. So, I'm involved with Mr. Downing as well. I have one of those affidavits that will be issued. My situation is I'm dealing with the Family Court Cartel Syndicate, as I have rebranded them. My case is originally out of Richmond County, New York. My case was actually ruled upon back in 2016 by then former support magistrate Donna Janelle hires Spencer. Now, when my case was being heard, the scandal with her and disgraced New York State Senator Sheldon Silver broke out. She never got recused from any of her cases. She was allowed to rule upon my case where a lot of nefarious activities were done. It has to deal with Title 4D, but more importantly, Social Security Administration, where I can't even get the minutes or the transcripts to this. They say they expunged them after 7 years, which, you know, is just a violation in itself. And I've already filed a petition to set aside. I've already had a sit down with the Social Security Administration. They were not aware that the benefits being paid out to the children were not being geared towards the arrears. I'm currently in $150K in arrears with a $40,000 tax offset. So, you know, now that the Social Security is involved, they want to know where that money went to. And this is all being paid to a woman that makes $500,000 a year, working as an internet securities head to a Moody's investment firm out of Manhattan. With that being said, I'm filing a follow-up within the Supreme Court to back up the petition of a declaratory judgment. You know, with that being said, for the people that are going through stuff like this, y'all really need to, like, especially with the templates, getting them off the, like you were saying, you can go with those templates. You really need to research and have a Black's Law Dictionary next to you while you do this and know what words mean. Because words like you you in itself does not mean you. When they say you...
You know, if you go into Black's Law or Bouvier's dictionaries and you go through that, you know, what happens is often that they change the meaning of words in their own little world that they're in, because they do that often. You know, like the word citizen, they play game with the word citizen.
Sure.
But, you know, you could define that citizen in a footnote. That's what I do. But you're absolutely right. If you're coming in dealing with a complaint, well, that brings you into the administrative process, because complaint moves into civil law courts, because that's what the word complaint is about.
Well, that's what the declaratory judgment is set there up for, because if
once you're going in for a declaratory judgment now, again, that becomes problematic because you're dealing with administrative law judges.
Well, I just want them to move it. Then at that point, I want them to move it out of their, you know, state court and into a judicial side. Because, I mean,
the due process has been
violated from get-go. I mean, you know, you can't have a monetary judgment without a trial by jury. You know, and
they
the
shut
woman.
They shut down courts of justice. They're not available.
No, I know. I know.
Right.
I know all this now.
Yeah, you're not available either anymore. So that's why I look at this is our fault now, because the people are being woken up, but they're not doing enough, or they're not doing anything. Okay, and then so therefore, everything we get from this point forward, we deserve.
Well, there's also a lot of bad actors out there as well. Like while this Tawana Downing, he's one of the good ones. There's this guy out of Long Island. He's got this thing called the Warrior Project. And this guy is not for real. I know he's not. I've done a little background on him, and I was going to go with him as well and support his cause. But I've had, interaction with him, and I don't feel that he's legitimate at all. So it's, yeah, especially people that are, you know.
We lost you, John.
Yeah, it sounds like he got hung up.
Well, it looks like he's still there.
Hmm.
Well, why don't you leave him alone and just leave him there? Maybe he'll pipe back in and just I'll unmute Robert and you can take that call. And maybe John will spring back up. Okay, so Robert's unmuted from Texas.
Go ahead, Robert. Yeah, real quick. Tanawha Downing is going to be on the Sons of Liberty Media.com radio show Wednesday after 2:07. And there's a listen only number that you can call in. Well, actually, Bradley, if you want to talk to Tanawha, Bradley answers the phone every time I call in. And his number is 281-845-4704.
So 281-845-4704. Now, who answers the phone? What's the name?
Well, it'll be a guy in Houston that runs the 200 radio stations, and he'll I'm sorry.
Maybe he'd want to interview us.
Well, say I'm thinking you could hook up with Tanawha there. Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
But it's going to be Wednesday at after commercials. It's 2:07. And
what do you mean two? In 7 minutes after two?
Right.
Okay.
If you do it online, the phone to call, if you just want to listen on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to need two phones, one to listen on and one to call the 281 number. So the listen-only line is 804-220-6484.
Okay, anyway. So the other number, the 4704 number, would be a number really to go into the call, and I'd be put into the queue.
Right.
Not that I'd be able to get a conversation concerning their interest in potentially interviewing us here.
Yeah. Well,
do you have a number for that?
If you tell Bob from Texas, and he'll listen to you.
Yeah, does when they answer the phone, do you get to talk to someone or you get put into the queue?
You get put into the queue, but you don't have to wait long.
Yeah, but you can't get someone off the air to speak to.
There's other numbers for that, so I don't...
do you think you could find that number? Because I'd like to speak with them to see if they'll interview us.
If I can text you...
Well, you could send it to mail, M-A-I-L, at National Liberty Alliance, so we'll all get it here.
Okay.
And, give us whatever information you have and give us a reminder of what it's about, of course. But, any kind of a contact information to be able to get interviewed. We used to do a lot of interviews. Podcasts, is they're impossible to get.
Bradley's not, and he's unbelievable. He knows the Bible as well as Tanawha knows the Constitution. And it's amazing. So, anyway, but if you... can listen to Bradley Dean on that listen only number and then call in on the 281 number.
Mm-hmm.
I think you guys can hook up and be online.
Okay. All right. Well, we got to move on because we're over time. I see one other person in the queue. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's go.
I guess just hit the next question twice, you'll get down to him. What are you doing here, Gerard?
Practicing. Okay, Robert, you should be there.
You were just talking to Robert. I guess you lost the other person.
Oh, well, that's a quick way of getting rid of him.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to mute myself.
Okay.
All right, if that person wants to try to get in real quick, we'll take your call. Let's see. Why is Robert disappearing? All right, he's muted. All right, I guess we lost that person, whoever that was. All right, we've come to the end of our call.
I'm going to cry. Okay.
All right. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming, and hopefully we'll see you next Sunday. Good night.
Yep.